Well, good morning. It's the last day of the year. It's Tuesday, the 31st of December in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Ivan Philby, and this is your wake-up call. So today we're going to pray this prayer of consecration. Remember, we've added to it to help us seek to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, and especially the gift of prophecy. So you ready? All right, well, let's do this then. Last chance for the prayer of consecration 2024. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. Help me to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. I set my mind on you. Help me discern your thoughts. I fix my eyes on you. Help me to see more than I can see. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Help me to sense your presence. Jesus, we belong to you. Praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Well, this final reading of this short series is again from Matthew chapter 2, this time from verses 3 to 12. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now consider this. Kathy and I pastor in Tower View Church in Bangor in Northern Ireland. Now, Bangor is a beautiful small city, and it has gorgeous beaches and beautiful walks. If only the weather was just a little bit better, it would just be gorgeous. It just rains a lot. That's why Ireland is green. We just get the rain, but it is beautiful. And we go out, we walk, we like to walk. And one of our favorite walks is to go to Skipping Stone Beach. You go to Bangor Marina and round the harbour, and just a bit further round, you find this beautiful tiny beach called Skipping Stone Beach. What a great name. It's tiny, and yep, the sea regularly washes up these wonderful flat rocks, stones that are great for skimming over the water. So it's a fun place to visit. Now, after 40 years of prophetic ministry and through reading scripture, I've concluded that prophetic messages often skip through time, just like these stones skip over the water. A prophecy can touch down again and again at different times in different places to different people in different circumstances. Each time it can breathe the life of God afresh into people in need. So we see this a bit when we compare Micah's prophecy from Micah chapter 5 with the extract that is used by the chief priests and the teachers of the law in Matthew chapter 2. So let's begin with Micah chapter 5. And here the prophecy reads from verse 2 to 5b. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, and the reason Bethlehem Ephrathah is highlighted is because there were two Bethlehem, so it's locating this one in the region of Judah. So, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land. Now, if we compare that to the extract quoted by the chief priests and the teachers of the law in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, you see, they just give a very short extract. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, the information about Bethlehem is found in verse 2 of the Micah passage. But the shepherd analogy comes from verse 4. However, the chief priests completely omit the rest of the prophecy. What happened to verse 3 and verse 5? They're left out. So, for example, you know, the rest of that prophecy roots Micah's word in Micah's time. For example, in Micah chapter 5, verse 5, it talks about the Assyrians invading the land, while Micah chapter 5, verse 3, talks about Israel being abandoned. That happened in the captivity, for example. The people's chief priests and teachers of the law omit those sections. So here's what happened. Micah brings a prophecy. It touches down when the Assyrians invade Israel. Israel's abandoned. Then it skims across time and finds its greater fulfillment in Christ. The prophecy skips across the waters of time to speak to the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, and through them to Herod, through them to the Magi, and through them to the gospel writer Matthew, and then countless Bible translators, and now to us. And it will go on skipping, bringing this truth until Jesus returns. But this prophecy contains another theme that skips across time. The line, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, is another in the long line of people and places where God chooses the underdog, the runt of the litter, so to speak, and where the runt of the litter is raised up and honored against all kind of expectations. Well, think of the list. Jacob, he was the second son. Joseph, King David. I mean, with King David, his father Jesse didn't even bother to present him to Samuel when Samuel came to anoint the new king. And there's Bethlehem, tiny Bethlehem. Well, what about the can anything good come from Nazareth that Nathanael says when he first hears about Jesus? And then more than likely we can add you and me to the list, this list of the unlikely who are chosen and find grace from God Most High. But then there's one final skip in this passage. And we don't see it in Micah's prophecy. We actually see it in the Magi's gift, particularly of myrrh. Now, the burial of kings is a big deal. It's a big deal in the ancient Middle East. And so the gift of myrrh was very appropriate for the embalming of, or the future embalming of this new king. And it was indeed used in Jesus' burial. In John chapter 19 and 38 to 42, it records how Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came and wrapped Jesus' body in linen, aloes, and myrrh. But the Magi could never have imagined that other times Jesus was offered myrrh. So one more time. This time on the cross, where it was mixed with wine to dull the pain of crucifixion. You read this in Mark chapter 15 and verse 23. And if you read it, you'll know that Jesus refused to drink that mixture. He was offered myrrh, but he refused to drink it. He bore our sins and sicknesses on the cross, and he did so without any palliative. He bore them fully. The Magi's prophetic act, this prophetic gift, touched down again at this moment on the cross that changed all of our lives forever. Now, I want to touch upon that theme a little bit more in a PS. So listen and read the PS to this one. But let's round off the year first before we get there. Tomorrow is New Year's Day. Happy New Year. And happy birthday to Kathy, my love. We'll be married 34 years in 2025, and we just love being together. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Kathy. Tomorrow, John David, JD, he's going to return with what will be an amazing series, New Year, New Word. Oh, it's going to be so good. So you'll hear JD again tomorrow. But I just want to end this year with some thank yous. You know, this year, the wake-up call was read or listened to more than 8.2 million times. I mean, that's a lot of seed. And, you know, the wake-up call is not a one-minute drive-by devotional. This is deep stuff to change people's lives so that we wake up in our lives and our homes and our churches and our communities. This is deep stuff. So I want to say a huge thank you to my brother, JD, especially to him and to the other brothers and sisters who host the Wake Up Call devotionals, and then the behind-the-scenes people who make it all happen. I want to thank that team. But hey, you're not done yet either. No, it's a lot of sowing to do. You know, there's a big bag of seed right by you with, well, if you've got eyes to see, you'll see it's got 2025 written on that sack. It's a lot of sowing to be done. So get your sack, and I'll see you on the field. And listen up for the PS. So the prayer. Lord, on this last day of the year, I bring my gifts and I lay them at your feet. Use them today and allow their impact to skip across time and space, changing lives until Jesus returns. Amen. Now the questions. Why does God keep choosing the runt of the litter? What does it teach us about God's nature and heart for the poor? And then the Magi had no idea that the gift of myrrh was a prophetic act. Have you ever had a similar experience where something you've done or said has taken on this prophetic quality? So for the awakening, I'm Ivan Philby. Happy New Year. And now the PS. I want to talk just about prophetic giving. I've been thinking a lot about the Magi's act of prophetic giving. You know, just as the Magi could never have imagined how myrrh would feature again in Jesus' life. You know, the truth is we can never fully imagine the impact of our own sowing and how it can skip over time and touch down again and again. I think just like the Magi, we can imagine something that our sowing can accomplish, but not everything. We'll never know how our sowing as used by the Lord to touch one person's life, and how that life touches others, and how those lives touches others. It just keeps skipping through one prophetic act. And so I've decided I want to finish this year with an act of prophetic giving. That's what leadership is about. You know, if the Lord leads you this way, you can join me, but that's up to you. This is about me and my role leading Seedbed, and I believe my giving, and in many ways your giving too, is a prophetic act that skips across time. Now, so I'm going to give a gift to our year-end appeal, the abundance appeal. I want to sow for an abundant harvest. And, you know, because of my leadership role in Seedbed as president and CEO, I can picture what that gift can do next year. I know the impact it's going to make. I see the numbers. I read the testimonies. I mean, it's exciting. But I will never be able to see how it skips across time. Never see that impact until eternity. I just won't. And in some way, I just believe I will be able at some point just to see the mind-boggling ways in which a large gift or a small gift, or big sowing or little sowing, will skip and touch down again and again in different people's lives and different situations, awakening people to the goodness of God. So that's what I'm going to do today. But now let me wish you a happy new year. I give a huge English hug to you all. Now, someone asked me, what is an English hug? Well, it's an American hug, but just given by an English guy. There's nothing amazing about it, except, well, it's from me, and just a big hug to you on New Year's Eve. And from all at Seedbed, happy new year. We'll see you in 2025 on the field, because we got a harvest to sow for. God bless you now, and happy new year.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.